Good morning, Lake Jackson. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen? Good. Make sure y'all awake because I want to put you to sleep later. So, all right. Well, I am Tanner Selvidge. As Chad said, I am the new youth pastor, and hopefully after today's sermon, I still will be. So, with that being said, I would encourage you guys, if you have your Bibles, whether it be paper or electronic, to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Some of you are like, okay, I've heard this sermon before. I know exactly where we're going. But hopefully you'll hear it in a different perspective today as we look at transitions in our lives and, of course, the graduates as they go out and forth into the world and to the scary place called college. I say that because I graduated from college last year. So, but anyway. With that being said, though, as you're turning there, I just want to say thank you on behalf of me and my wife for you guys, just your generosity, your helpfulness, and just your overwhelming, like, everything. You guys have been so good to us this whole week as we have moved into Lake Jackson, Texas, from all the way in northeast corner of Hannibal, Missouri. So it's great. We love it. One of the things that I've talked to some of you Lake Jackson people was that some of you said, there's nothing down here, like it's a small town. I'm like, y'all know nothing, because we don't have a Chick-fil-A in our town. Like, y'all have a Chick-fil-A. If anything, I'll take that over a Hardee's any day, you know, or Taco Bell. Yeah, amen, that's right. So I'm a Southern Baptist, I know what good food is, okay? Jeez. But anyway, with that being said, we'll go ahead and read Joshua chapter 1. So in chapter 1, verse 1, 1 through 9, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses said to Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the title of today's sermon, if you're taking notes, will be, What Comes Next? What comes next? That is the title of today's sermon. So we're talking about transitions today. So have you ever been in a time of transition, right? I have. I was just in one this whole week. I was moving down to Texas from Missouri. That's a transition, let me tell you. Have you ever moved from state to state or city to city? Have you guys graduated? I mean, obviously we have graduates in the front here. They're about to leave for college, or maybe you've graduated from college or something along the lines of that. I mean, I count preschool. If you graduate preschool, that's a good thing, right? You know, triangles and circles, that's a good thing. So anyway, maybe you guys are in a transition of relationships, like leaving friends behind. Or maybe they leave you because of a job or school position. Like, for instance, the graduates are going to be leaving here in the summer. I know, bearer of bad news this morning, but they'll be leaving in the summer to go forth into their education, whether it be A&M or Hook'em Horns or whatever else, colleges, DBU, so et cetera, et cetera. So, yes. Also, engagements. Maybe you're about to get married, about to live together and try to figure things out, dealing with the monsters, in-laws. Maybe you're dealing with those kind of things. Like, maybe you're just in a transition in marriage. You're trying to decide what is best for both of you, your kids. Maybe you're trying to make a decision whether or not to move to a new position for a new job or promotion. For instance, maybe you transition in job. Maybe you're being promoted. Maybe you're being demoted. maybe you're getting a pay cut. big changes in the company, or maybe a new boss that is just really mean. Hopefully Chad's not mean. That's all I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed. But anyway, another one could be physically. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness or a disease or an illness that might hinder you from doing things that you could have done before. But now you're in a position to where you cannot. So you're in a part of transition to where you have to figure out life all over again. So in the midst of transition, we are constantly in the daze and we ask so many questions. Many of them is like, how can I provide for myself or my family? What should I do next? How should I do this? What can I do? Who do I ask? We tend to become fearful and worried about our circumstances before us. And rightfully so, because many of these transitions can be very, very scary. The main idea that I want you to take away from today's sermon is that in transition, like when you're in the midst of transition, not to be fearful or worrisome, but we are to be dependent and fully rely on a God who is in control. In times of transition, there are many different difficulties and, most importantly, challenges. So this leads to point number one in your notes. We're already getting past the introduction. See, we're going fast. I promise you I'll get you out before noon. I'm a Southern Baptist at heart. I love my food. So anyway, in times of transition, this is point number one. Point number one in your notes if you're taking some. And if you are, I encourage you. Identify and accept the challenge. Identify and accept the challenge. We see this in verses 1 through 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Again, that is the first four verses of Joshua. You can see in these verses, verses 1 through 4, that there is a big challenge that is facing Joshua and the people of Israel. We see that that the great leader of the Israelites, Moses, has passed. He is dead. The Israelites stop in their tracks. So the questions they may ask are these: who is going to lead? What do we do now? In the time of this transition, who do we follow? Where do we go? Who do we serve? And who do we turn to? What comes next? When we look back in Scripture, we can see that God's plan has been set in motion for the Israelites when he called Abram to lead him to Canaan. In Genesis 12:2, God said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. The very next chapter, when he has name changed to Abraham, Abraham stood into the land and God said, all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. That is Genesis 13:15. Abraham had been followed by Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and so forth. After 400 years in Egypt, the family had grown into a great nation. However, it turned to a nation of slaves under the cruel hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. God heard their cries for help and moved to fulfill his promise to Abraham. God called Moses, who had fled from Egypt and spent 40 years as a shepherd in the desert. God told Moses, I have come down to rescue my people from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That is Exodus 3:8. Moses, however, was hesitant, but God said, I will be with you. Remember that. I will be with you. And he said that in Exodus 3:12, a few verses later. Through miraculous plagues, God freed his people from Pharaoh's grasp, and Moses led them through the Red Sea and into the desert, where they wandered for 40 years until an entire generation died off. However, because Moses himself disobeyed the Lord, he could not enter the promised land like the others. But in Numbers 27:16-20, Moses said, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, and so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man whom is in spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. So this is This jumps into the first verse of Joshua, even basically saying, hey, now you're the leader. It's the transition of Joshua taking the challenge of being the new leader. He's identifying it and finding it. We've already learned in Deuteronomy that Moses has passed. He has died. And the narrative continues almost interrupted from Deuteronomy 34:12. Joshua is reintroduced into the narrative by a direct call of Yahweh himself, Yahweh being God. We learned in Deuteronomy 34:9 that God has chosen him and prepared him, and now Joshua and the Israelites stood at the western bank of the Jordan River, ready to fulfill a promise given to Abraham hundreds of years before. The Israelites and Joshua faced the challenge of what to do next. So they identified that problem, and now Joshua is taking on the challenge. And the first step when in transition of any kind is to identify and accept that challenge. This challenge the Israelites faced was, one, going into the land, and then, two, finding a leader who's going to lead them well. Because at this point, their great leader, Moses, is gone. So what's next, right? So what's next is Joshua taking on that legacy, taking on that new position of leadership, passing the baton for some of you track athletes. The first step in transition is to identify and accept the challenge that the Lord has brought before us. But obviously, and talking about us here, most of us are scared to walk in blindly into a place where we have no idea what lies before us. And we are scared. So what do we do? This leads to point number two. See, we're already going fast. I got you. Number two. Point number two is, in times of transition, find courage in the presence of God. Find courage in the presence of God. And this is in verses 5 and 6. So if you look back in your Bibles in verses 5 and 6, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. In the midst of transition, we can be scared about what lies ahead of us, right? Some of us are like, well, I don't know what to do next. Who do I go to? What do I ask? Like, what kind of questions should I, you know, be doing that? So, like, it's a huge situation for a lot of us. As we see here, Joshua may have been scared as well. He has been with these people and has watched them countlessly rebel against God and his appointed leaders. So in these verses, God says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. What a promise God gave to Joshua. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. And just to reinforce those words, God reminded Joshua of everything his heavenly hand had accomplished through Moses. A random pastor on the radio one time said this, and I thought it was a really cool quote. And it was, the secret of Moses' success had been God's presence with him. It would be the secret of Joshua's success as well. And it continues to be the secret of success today for the church. When we stare at the transition ahead of our lives, what do we see? The spiritual failures, the sins, the fears, maybe some of the bad habits that we've corrupted with our sin. Some persistent physical problem, the steady flow of broken relationships. Like Joshua, we need to take our eyes off the fear around us and fix our eyes and our trust on God, who is in control and who claims to be with us. But God is not yet finished with his opening speech. In addition to his promise to give, he now adds principles for Joshua to hold. In verse 6, three times in this section, actually, in verse 6 and then also three times within the chapter, God repeats the command to be strong and courageous. How would Joshua do this? By standing straight and sticking out his chest, like, oh yeah, I got this, brace for impact. You know, it's like you're getting a water balloon or a dodgeball thrown at you. You're like, all right, here we go. Bam. You know, like, no, not like that at all. How do we do this? By leaning on God the same way Moses has done. That is how Joshua is going to succeed. Through this promise, Joshua could be confident because God is capable. Joshua could be dependent because God is dependable. Joshua could trust because God is trustworthy. Amen? So the question is, why do we not have confidence in God? Why are we not dependent on God? Why do we not trust God? Is it because we hold it in ourselves to do it ourselves? Because if you look in the beginning, when we did things ourselves, when Adam and Eve ate the apple, look where that got us. It got us Taco Bell. Right? No. But the point is, look where it got us. We're sinners in need of saving. We're separated from God. Like Moses, Joshua began his leadership at the age of about 80. Also like Moses, he could call upon decades of experience to strengthen his faith. For example, when the Amalekites attacked the Israelites in the desert, Joshua led the army into battle while Moses stood on the nearby hill and held up the staff of God. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites won. When he grew tired and lowered his hands, the Amalekites prevailed. With the help of Aaron and Hur, one of the guys, it's H-U-R, not H-E-R, and a good strong stone to sit on, the staff stayed up and the Israelites won. So the question is, did God need that rod raised to guarantee the victory of Israel? No. No. Though that and numerous other incidents, he taught Israel the battles are not won in human strength, but by his divine power. After that battle, God had said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and to make sure that Joshua hears it. And that is Exodus 17:14. So in the midst of transition, we must remember that God has done what God has done and what he continues to do for us. We must see and remember how faithful he has been to us. An example of that is my own personal life. I went through a season in college where everything was kind of falling apart around me. I wasn't doing too hot in some of my classes, and I was like, Lord, you know, you're calling me into ministry, and I may not graduate college. Like, what's going to happen? Like, I know you're wanting me to do this, but how's this supposed to be done? And it was also in the midst of transition of much of my family was moving to Florida at the time, which I don't blame them. I mean, leaving from Missouri to Florida, it's probably a good idea. But anyway, with that being said, it's like I had all this stuff kind of happening to me. I had a job lined up in my hometown, ready to go. But since my family moved, I got nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. I had no money coming in to pay for college because, I mean, you need money to pay for college. So with that being said, I was in a rut of, God, what the heck am I supposed to do? Everything is falling off around me. What am I supposed to do? So in the midst of that transition where I was seeking the Lord throughout my time with my friends, we went to a trip to Israel, but during that time, the Lord made it very obvious to me in a quiet time, in a quiet study with just me and him. He said, Tanner, if I can raise my son from the grave, I can guarantee you I can get you a job. And I was like, thanks, Lord, to the slap in the face, you know, appreciate it. Then it's also, when I look back, I'm like, he has been faithful. He has been faithful to give me salvation. He has been faithful so far to get me to college. He has been faithful to get me even here right now standing before you. The Lord has continued to do that. By the way, to end that story, I did end up getting a job, an internship in Liberty City, Texas, which is how I'm here today. Funny how that works. God has a sense of humor. But anyway, this leads to point number three, and we're almost done. We have one more point. So this leads to point number three. In times of transition, we must rely on the Word of God. In times of transition, we must rely on the Word of God. And this is in verses 7 through 8. So look back in your Bibles here, in verses 7 through 8. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And that is verses 7 through 8 again. So at the center of Joshua's faith will be the Word of God. This book of the law is what it said in the verses. The word meditate could be rendered mutter. So as Professor Madwig puts it, when one continually mutters God's word to himself, he is constantly thinking about it. Knowledge of God's law is not enough. One must also be careful to do what it commands. Much has been made of the word successful that appears in verses 7 and 8, and also the word prosperous, to which it attaches at the end of verse 8. It should be obvious to any serious Bible reader that financial achievement is not in view here. Last time I checked, this is not Joel Osteen's church. This is God's church. So, prosperity is not the way. The so-called prosperity gospel cannot be argued from any point of God's word, and certainly not from these verses in the first chapter of Joshua. Success and prosperity come when the person follows God's will, obeys God's word, and achieves God's goals. Not when the tithes and offerings are greater this year, or when they were last year, or at the time when it seems convenient for you to finally obey him. No, that's not how that works. God never forces us to live a victorious Christian life. He teaches and promises and provides principles. But if we fail to cross that river and possess the land, like the Israelites, we will remain in a spiritual desert. God is not looking for people with self-confidence or pride, but he's looking for people with God confidence and dependency. Joshua understood how important the principles of the law are to God. We should be like Joshua and know the word of God and rely off its wisdom and principles for our own spiritual victories and success. Not our own understanding. We can't do that because that's what got us Taco Bell in the first place. Finally, this leads to point number four, the last point. See, we're doing pretty good on time, aren't we? In times of transition, hold on to the promises of God. In times of transition, hold onto the promises of God. This is in verse 9. Look back at your Bibles in verse 9. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We have seen up to this point that God has been with the Israelites until now. He's been with them in the Exodus, and then with Moses as well, and Joshua as well, in the book. Wow, I'm sorry, my brain just went all kinds of places. Let me back up here. He's been with them in the Exodus and the people from Egypt and in the wilderness for 40 years, and even though they had disobeyed him, and even now God reminds his people and Joshua that he himself is still with them. He has not neglected them. He is with them. He has not forsaken them. And the same applies to us today, believers. His presence is soothing to those people and is also soothing to Joshua. It's always good to know that God is with us. An example is like having a comfort character or a parent with you. All of us can understand the importance of a parental presence. We learned it as first as children when we thought we had lost our mom or dad in a crowded room or a giant parking lot, or if you're like me, in the middle of Walmart, where everybody knows everybody. So, anyway, the point is we get that same presence of like, okay, everything's going to be all right. Their presence gives us assurance and confidence. Like Joshua, we must hold the truths that God has given in his word. He is with us in the fire, and he is with us as a comforter, and he is with us in any situation, in any transition. As we come to close, we come back to these promises in Scripture. So in other words, here's your GPS. In other words, it's an acronym for your good practical stuff. You can write these down and actually apply these to your life. So believer, listen here. God is with us. Write that down. God is with us. We can see this from Genesis in the beginning of the Bible all the way to Revelation at the very end. He was with us in the garden, in our hearts when we are born again, and especially when he comes back to get us. But in the midst of his word, he says many times that he is with us. Deuteronomy 31:8. Write these verses down. You can not write all the verses word for word, but just write the location of where it's at. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. 1 Kings 8:57. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us. And I love the book of Matthew because it bookends with Emmanuel, God with us, and it ends with God saying in Matthew 28, 20, "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And even to back up, Matthew 1, 23 to be specific, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Romans 8, 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" In Hebrews 13, 5, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then lastly, Revelation 3, 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So believers, we must remember that no matter the hardship, no matter the trial, no matter the pain or the transition that you might be going through, God is with us. He's already gone before you. He's already been there, done that. So what must we do? What comes next? The title is, here's your answer. What comes next? Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Thus, at the center of everything that we do should be in line with God's word. That must be our priority, to obey it, and not stray from the left or to the right. To the unbelievers in the room, the Lord can be with you as well. All you must do is call upon him for salvation. Psalm 86, 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." And in Romans 10, 13, "Whoever calls on my name of the Lord shall be saved." You must admit to God that you are a sinner and realize that your sin separates you from God in the first place, and believe that he died and rose again to restore that once broken relationship, and to confess your faith and make Jesus your Lord and fully trust and depend on him. Lastly, I'll end with this. This is directed toward you guys in the front row. Hopefully you're still awake. Graduates, here is your takeaway for today. You're coming up on a transition in life that can be kind of crazy, fun, frightening, and wonderful all at the same time. And that is college, in a nutshell. There may be times where you are scared, maybe even feel alone, and even nervous to take on new things and nerve-wracking responsibilities. Some of you have been given leadership roles. Some of you might be an RA. Some of you might lead worship at your BSU, your Baptist Student Union, that you'll hopefully be involved. Or you might get involved at your local church near your college, and they'll have you in charge of something kind of fun or cool. There will be times when you'll be nervous. But know this, the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. He has given us in his presence, his promises, and his word. So graduates, identify and accept the challenge. Identify and accept the challenge. Find that challenge that God has set before you and take it on. It's going to be nerve-wracking. It's going to be scary. I'm not going to lie. College is a fun place and a scary place all in the same time. But the Lord is with you wherever you go. He's already gone before you. Find courage in the presence of God. God is with you. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you. Hold on to that. Because there will be times where you feel like it's all you by yourself on top of pages of homework or responsibilities from your job that you might have on the side in college or something along the lines of that. But know this, that God is with you. He sees. He knows. Do not lose faith. Hold tight. Hold tight to that. Find courage in the presence of God. God is with you. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you. Rely on the word of God. Again, rely on the word of God, graduates. Not Twitter, not Facebook. Maybe you guys are too young for Facebook at this point. But not the news stations, not World Star, not Barstool, your peers, or even what your professors say. The world likes to make its own truth. Oprah constantly says on her TV show, "It's your truth." No, Oprah, it's lies. In the words of our latest president, it's fake news. So don't believe that at all. Rely on the word of God. His word is the ultimate truth, and it is applicable, and it is helpful, and do not go from the right or left, but know it. Study it. Meditate on it. Yes, it's challenging to study your Bible in college. I can guarantee that. Life hits you pretty fast as you get older. As most of the adults in the room can probably testify, life hits you pretty quick, doesn't it? Yeah? Okay, making sure. I'm like, I don't want to be a bro by myself. Whew. But anyway, rely on God and His Word. It is truth. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to them tightly. In Scripture, there's many promises that He is a shelter, He is a shoulder, He is a friend, He is your God, He's with you wherever you go. Hold on to those promises. There's many others in the Bible that I can list off of, but in order for us to get out on time, I might need to keep it short. But point is, rely on those promises. Hold tight to those promises. The devil will tell you things that will make you let go of them or even fall astray to them. Know when the devil's attacking you. You will know. So my encouragement to you is stay straight. Do not go from the right or to the left. Stay straight. Follow God's word. Hold on to His promises. The world will tell you otherwise. And sometimes maybe even your professors. And that's where it'll get tough. Especially as you start to look at them as more mentors rather than teachers. So, for everybody in the room, as we close, know this. What comes next in times of transition? Be strong and courageous. Why? Because He is with you wherever He will go. Fully rely and trust on Him. Do not stray from the right or to the left, and know His word. Obey it. As the band comes up, I'll say a prayer, and then the altar, I guess, will be open if you have to come for times of repentance or just times to get right with God or maybe even just to pray. I mean, it's all right. It's the house of the Lord. I challenge you, if you need to know the Lord, find me, Pastor Chad, Pastor Bo, Pastor Brad, and that's all the staff I can think of on top of my head. But we will be here to help you. And probably many others in here will be glad to lead you to the Lord and show you how good He is and how He can be with you as well. So, Father, we love You. We thank You so much for just sending Your Son and even being with us. You are good, You are gracious, and greatly to be praised. Father, I pray if there's anybody who is seeking Your name and seeking You, Lord, I pray they come forth and just come to know You today. If not, it's fine. But Lord, help us to, even as believers, to remember those promises and hold on to those promises that You have given us. Help us to hold strong and to follow You faithfully. As Joshua identifies the challenges, help us to identify the challenges as well and know ahead of time that You have gone before us and that You will take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.